It's Monday, August 31st, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Boy, it was an exciting weekend this weekend, and somewhat debilitating, I might say, so I may not be on the top of my game today. Let's just say I didn't get a whole lot of sleep this weekend. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show. I'm really excited about the debut of Normal Show Live coming up this weekend, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours of live talk radio for the Marijuana Nation, where we treat you like the responsible adults that you are. We've got the authors of Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? That's right, Steve Fox from MPP, Mason Tvert from Safer, and Paul Armentano from Normal, all three guests on the debut show. You can call in to ask your questions of them at 347-994-1810. That's Normal Show Live, which you can find on the internet at live.normal.org. And if you can't listen on the net, you can just call that number, 347-994-1810, and listen to it on your phone. We'll also be visiting with mixed martial artist Toby Tigerheart Greer, who has been banned from fighting in California because he can't pass the pee test. He is a medical marijuana patient in the state of California and is fighting another kind of fight to get the right to use his medicine and continue in his profession. He'll be our guest in the second hour of Normal Show Live this Saturday night. Today is the 350th episode of the Daily Audio Stash, as hosted by me, Radical Russ Belville. It was founded back in 2006 by Chris Goldstein, who's now the executive director of Normal New Jersey, among many hats that he wears. We'll be playing an interview from the archives, so you'll get to hear a little bit of Chris later on in the show. But for this 350th episode, I'm debuting a new format, trying to streamline the stash just a little bit. For one, we're going to keep the download length to 45 minutes. It has been getting rather long lately. And for two, we're only going to feature one interview on the show instead of two. So you'll hear the news, the tunes, and then the interview. This'll give the interviewees a little bit more time to stretch out and get 15 minutes or more to talk instead of trying to compress everything into just 10. It'll also hopefully give me a little bit more time to work on the other projects I have going.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
It's time to take a look at the Normal calendar of events, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. To get your events on the calendar, send an email to stash@normal.org. Joplin Normal wants you to know about a monthly meeting they're having in Joplin, Missouri. This will be September 1st, Tuesday, at the Blackthorn Pub and Pizza. For more information, email kelly.maddy@gmail.com or check the Normal calendar. The meeting takes place at 6 p.m. Central Time. Salt Lake City Normal has a screening of Busted, the Citizen's Guide to Surviving Police Encounters. This will be taking place 7:30 Mountain Time. For the location and directions, check the calendar or email official.slc.com shoutout.normal@gmail.com.
It's a normal shout-out.
For my shout-outs today, I just want to remind folks about my upcoming travel schedule. I will be at the Boston Freedom Rally on September 19th. On the 20th through the 22nd of September, I will be in Washington, D.C., and hopefully visiting activists in the Northern Virginia, Delaware, Maryland area. I'll be at the NormalCon in San Francisco for the 24th through the 26th. Then it will be off to Madison, Wisconsin, October 1st through the 5th for the Great Midwest Harvest Fest. Following that, a trip to Florida, where I'll be in Orlando at the University of Central Florida on September 7th and possibly other locations. You can find these trips as well at the Normal Calendar, normal.org/calendar. Now coming up on your daily audio stash, we begin with your hemp headlines, including a look at the new poll from Rasmussen that shows that 51% of Americans believe marijuana is safer than alcohol. What a wonderful segue to the guests we have on Normal Show Live this weekend. We get an email from a drug reform organization in Mexico saying not so fast on the Mexican decriminalization measure. There may be some unintended consequences. And the Denver Post is out with an alarmist story about 15 doctors in Colorado being responsible for the vast majority of medical marijuana recommendations among the state's 10,000 registered patients. I'll explain to you why that scare headline is all smoke and no fire. In your daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, it's Message Monday, and we bring you the prolific Jet Baker and his song Puff for Peace. And in our Inside Normal segment today, we have an interview from 2007 in the archives with Chris Goldstein with Mark Stepnoski, the former Dallas Cowboy and Super Bowl winner, who is on the Normal Advisory Board. He will also be speaking at the Cannabis and Athleticism panel at NormalCon 2009 in San Francisco. All that and a recap of my Hot Wings contest from Saturday coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. 51% of Americans think alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana. But 44% think marijuana is equally as dangerous or more dangerous than alcohol. 51% of American adults say alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana, according to a new Rasmussen Reports national telephone survey. Just 19% disagree and say pot is worse. But 25% say both are equally dangerous. Just 2% say neither is dangerous. Younger adults are more likely than their elders to view alcohol as the more dangerous of the two. Unmarried adults are more critical of alcohol than those who are married. Those with children at home think alcohol is more dangerous than those without kids living with them. This finding surprised me, as I figured parents with kids at home would be more likely to succumb to reefer madness hysteria. Is it really possible that a majority of parents would rather catch their kids smoking a joint than drinking a beer? As California looks for solutions to its ongoing budget problems, 47% of voters in the state say marijuana should be legalized and taxed. Nearly as many, 42%, oppose the state legalizing and taxing the drug. Nationally, 41% of likely voters think the United States should legalize and tax marijuana, but 49% are opposed. President Obama's new drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske, has signaled a shift away from the decades-old war on drugs toward more emphasis on health treatment for drug users. However, 54% of voters say illegal drug use is primarily a criminal justice issue rather than a matter of public health. This I would attribute to the other illegal drugs and the tendency of their users to commit more crimes. I'd like to see the question narrowed down to just marijuana use. Is it an issue of public health or criminal justice? See, there is a reason there is no cocaine culture or heroin times magazines. Cocaine and heroin use most often are addictions. Marijuana use most often is a lifestyle. Not so fast. Potential problem areas with Mexico's drug decriminalization law. We reported last week on the new law in Mexico decriminalizing personal possession of drugs. As is often the case, what can look like a great law on first read can have many unintended consequences in actual practice. We received an email from Jorge Hernandez Tinajero of the Mexican drug reform organization CUPID, Colectivo por una Política Integral hacia las Drogas, explaining the issue. We have links to the official news release in both English and in Español. The new law determines the quantities of drugs allowed to be carried for personal consumption, and it is here where some important concerns arise. First of all, the amount of drugs permitted, 5 grams of marijuana, equivalent approximately to 4 or 5 cigarettes, half a gram of cocaine, close to 4 lines, 0.04 grams of methamphetamine or ecstasy, maybe 2 pills, are not realistic in terms of the illicit drug market. Cocaine, for example, sells by the gram on the streets. Also, these quantities are not realistic in terms of what a user actually consumes. In comparison, Paraguay, for example, allows 2 grams of cocaine for personal consumption, 4 times as much as Mexico. Establishing such low thresholds can be dangerous because it can become a way to improperly categorize a large number of users as traffickers. Under the new Mexican law, a person is considered a small-scale trafficker if caught with more drugs than the quantities allowed, with sentences from 4 to 10 years if they have the, quote, intent to sell, end quote. It remains unknown how this intent will be determined or proven, opening up the door to extortion and increasing the possibility of corruption of both police and the judicial power, already a significant problem in Mexico. The risk of corruption and extortion is now even greater because the new law allows local and state institutions to pursue, prosecute, and sanction small-level trafficking, something that was limited before to the federal level. It is at this local level where corruption and inefficiency is greatest, and where reforms have not been implemented. Worse, even when the intent to sell cannot be proven, users found with quantities of drugs greater than those allowed can receive a sentence of up to 3 years in jail, an increase from before the law was passed. The new law now establishes these quantities of drugs as the determining factor to distinguish between a user and a trafficker. For these reasons, this law runs the risk of criminalizing a vast group of users, as well as those who make a living off the small-scale dealing, but who in reality are not part of the organized crime networks. Imprisoning these users and dealers will not diminish the supply of drugs on the street, nor will it improve Mexico's current public security situation and overwhelming violence. It will, however, allow the government to justify its current strategies against organized crime by boasting about the number of people incarcerated, but in reality, worsen Mexico's already serious prison overpopulation problem. 15 doctors behind most pot referrals in Colorado. From the Durango Herald News. 2 doctors are responsible for referring more than a third of the patients on Colorado's medical marijuana registry, according to statistics from the state health department. Of the approximately 10,000 medical marijuana patients on the state's registry, 75% received their recommendations from one of 15 doctors, whose names weren't released because of state confidentiality laws, the Denver Post reported in Sunday editions. This is a refrain we hear a lot of in Oregon, where we have a similar stat. I think they said that it was 10 doctors have made 75% of referrals here. The idea here is to scare the public into buying the framing of medical marijuana is out of control. The voters meant medical marijuana for the dying, not for healthy people. And medical marijuana is a sham because pot docs are giving cards to everyone. Well, most people don't understand the supply and demand for medical marijuana in doctors. Many well-intentioned physicians still buy into the reefer madness as much as the general public. A doctor who doesn't think twice about handing out refillable Vicodin prescriptions will often still counsel patients against medical marijuana use. Some doctors know the truth about medical marijuana, but for contractual reasons, with their building lease, their practice, their HMO, or their hospital, they are forbidden from recommending, quote, illegal drugs. So you end up with about 10,000 people who can benefit from medical marijuana, but most of their personal physicians won't recommend it. So they go to the THC Foundation clinic or another medical marijuana specialist. But, you know, 70% of the time, the doctor will give you whatever pharmaceutical you ask for that you saw on that TV ad. They also don't understand that in order to get the recommendation, most often, two doctors have verified the qualifying condition. First, the patient has been visiting his primary care doctor, who has made many examinations and written up the condition in chart notes. Then the primary doctor, when asked, says, "Oh no, I won't recommend marijuana for you. Here, use these expensive side effect laden hepatotoxic pharmaceuticals instead." Or something like that. So the patient gathers up his medical marijuana records from his primary doctor and takes them to a clinic like THCF, where a second doctor reviews the charts, performs an exam, and recommends the medicinal use of marijuana. Finally, in what other situation would 10,000 people getting safe, effective, affordable healthcare treatment be considered a bad thing? Imagine people had opened clinics that provided healthcare that provided 10,000 people with flu shots or 10,000 kids with immunizations. I think the headlines would be a little bit different.
NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling while promoting the message of reform. To donate your song for possible use on the stash, enter it in the next Marijuana Music Awards contest today.
Hey, Stashers, I hope you like the new tune there for our Marijuana Music Awards Daily Toker Tunes. That's the Disciples of Panic Earth. Yeah, that's right. That's their name, Disciples of Panic Earth, with their song, Let's Get High. Now, our song for Message Monday is Puff for Peace by Jet Baker. Jet is a huge Normal supporter, having performed at many Normal benefits. Jet has recently released a new song, I Am Normal. Jet Baker's song, I Like Pot, is only available for free legal download at normal.org. Jett recently released a new CD, Pot Patriot, following the release of his 2008 CD, Stoner Love Songs. For the latest about Jett, check out myspace.com/JettBakerOnMyspace. And enjoy Puff for Peace by Jett Baker.
Every time when you take a puff, say a prayer for peace, well then guess what? All your prayers, they do add up, man. Say a prayer for peace. Until new morning dawn, after the war is done, till then I take a puff and say a prayer for peace. Grateful for what I got, almost everything I want. Peace for all, now take a puff and take a puff for me. Every time when you take a puff, you say a prayer for peace, and guess what? All your prayers, they do add up. Say a prayer for peace. Until new morning dawn, after the war is done, till then I take a puff and say a prayer for peace. Grateful for what I got, almost everything I want. Peace for all, now take a puff and take a puff for me. If every time when you take a puff, say a prayer for peace, you know, guess what? All your prayers that you have, and say a prayer for peace. Every time when you take a puff, say a prayer for peace, well then guess what? All your prayers, they do add up, man. Say a prayer for peace. If every time when you take a puff, you say a prayer for peace, then guess what? All your prayers, they do add up. Say a prayer for peace. If every time when you take a puff, you say a prayer for peace, then guess what? All your prayers, they do add up. Say a prayer for peace. Until new morning dawn, after the war is done, till then I take a puff and say a prayer for peace. Grateful for what I got, almost everything I want. Peace for all, now take a puff and take a puff for me.
Every time when you take a puff, you say a prayer for peace, then guess what? All your prayers, they do add up. Say a prayer for peace.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is thousands of cannabis consumers just like you, represented by our Board of Directors, a group of men and women selected for their expertise in the legal, medical, social, scientific, and political aspects of cannabis and marijuana law reform. Learn from the wisdom of the most dedicated supporters of reform in America, your normal Board of Directors. For our Inside Normal segment this Monday, we're going to go back to the vaults and feature a speaker who will be appearing at the NormalCon 2009 in San Francisco, Mark Stepnoski, the former Dallas Cowboy and Super Bowl winner, who was also the head of Texas Normal and on the Normal Advisory Board. This is from 2007, when Stash founder and former host Chris Goldstein was chatting up with Mark prior to some events that were taking place. Remember, this is an interview from 2 years ago, so unless you have a flux capacitor in your DeLorean, you can't go to these events. So pay no mind to that. Just enjoy this interview with Mark Stepnoski.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, it is a great privilege to welcome our next guest here to Normal's podcast. Joining us today is All-American football player and member of the Super Bowl championship Dallas Cowboys. Now he's a Normal Advisory Board member. It's Mark Stepnoski. He'll be emceeing the Austin Freedom Fest next week with Willie Nelson, Asleep at the Wheel, Carolyn Wonderland, and others. Mark, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
Mark, it's great to speak with you here today. The Austin Freedom Fest takes place exactly 1 week from today. It's going to be a huge event. You served as president of Texas Normal, and now you're on Normal's advisory board for the National Foundation. Mark, tell us how you originally got involved with Normal.
Well, I became a member of Normal in 1998. You know, I started to support the organization financially at that point. Then I was asked by them to increase my role once I retired from the NFL, and I chose to do so. The gentleman who was the president of the Texas branch of Normal prior to me was a guy named Rick Day, and Rick was getting ready to move away from Texas, and he needed somebody to take his place at the time, which was roughly 2002. So, you know, he asked me to do it since he was leaving, and I agreed to. So that's how I wound up being involved in that respect back about 5 years ago.
And, Mark, what was it like taking over the reins there at Texas Normal?
It was quite a learning experience. You know, one of the reasons I got involved is because politics interests me, not necessarily running for office, but for just trying to be educated and engaged in that area. You know, that's one of the luxuries we are given as citizens of the United States. You know, we're given a chance to participate in the democratic process. So, you know, it's not very often that you get a chance to say your piece or have your message heard. And I felt like I was in a unique position to do that. So it was just something I just tried to take advantage of in order to bring attention to a topic that maybe not many people spend a lot of time thinking about, but a topic which is vitally important to the future of the country nonetheless.
Texas is a politically conservative state, but there are a lot of marijuana smokers down there as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the case nationwide. And Texas does have a reputation for being a conservative state, and rightfully so. But it is exciting that to note that even there, They have recently made some significant changes in their laws regarding cannabis. The entire purpose behind my activity, at least in the state of Texas 4 years ago, was to try and change the law there for punishment for possession of marijuana. Because as most of the listeners know, Texas has one of the highest incarceration rates in America, if not the highest. And there are a lot of prisons there. And at the same time, you know, the country or the state faces a lot of debt. And our whole message, when the Texas legislature was in session, they only meet every other year. So in 2003, you know, we had a full-time lobbyist in Austin who was going around and visiting representatives and their assistants, trying to get a bill introduced in the state Congress that would lower penalties for possession of marijuana, that would give an alternative to incarceration. Because other states, like California, had done that previously. They had something called Proposition 36, which passed, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, and they've experienced great success with that. In addition to other states that decriminalized marijuana, the possession of marijuana, you know, there have been about 11 states that have done that starting in the 1970s. And all those states experienced success with the policy. None of them have changed that policy back. So that's what we were trying to get done in Texas because of the scope of the prison population. And while we did not succeed in 2003, and while another bill similar to ours came up and was defeated in 2005, this year in 2007, a bill that was almost identical to ours passed. And it was introduced by a Republican named Jerry Madden, and it was signed into law by Governor Rick Perry, who is also a Republican. So I believe starting in September, once this law is signed, people will no longer be immediately arrested and possibly incarcerated for marijuana possession in Texas. So that's a big step forward. And I think that everybody who lives in the state or everybody who's involved in marijuana law reform should be very pleased to hear that.
It is a big step for Texas, which not only has a lot of influence in the Southwest region, but also nationally. So, Mark, having worked on the political efforts there firsthand, it seems like the legislators in Texas, even though they may be considered conservative, there is an understanding that marijuana is not harmful on the level of other substances, and it's just a waste to be locking up people for possession and the like.
Yes, that was the attitude. And the gentleman who by far did the majority of the legwork in this area was my coworker. His name was Howard Wooldridge. And by the way, Howard is also actively involved in a very effective organization called LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. So that's another drug law reform organization that's getting a lot of good work done currently. But, you know, during Howard's time in Austin as a lobbyist 4 years ago, when he met with politicians or their aides, overwhelmingly, the attitude was, look, we agree with you. We also think that the amount of money and time spent towards prosecuting people for marijuana possession is too much. And that money could be used in better ways elsewhere. But getting those aides or those politicians to actually speak out on that issue or vote in favor of a change was difficult because obviously politicians do not want to be painted as soft on crime. And that's really the one thing I think that gives politicians cold feet in this area, is that they're afraid to somehow convey the message to their constituents that they are soft on crime. But I think that people are knowledgeable enough to make exceptions when it comes to the whole, you know, crime is a big subject and encompasses a lot of areas. And, you know, what it boils down to is, you know, the state decides what a crime even is or isn't, depending on what their laws are. So I think that a lot of people, you know, in Texas came to the conclusion that, like I said before, people in other states have come to years ago, and other countries, too, for that matter, that placing an increasing amount of funds and police time towards marijuana prohibition is extremely counterproductive. And back in 2003, when we were pushing for a change in this law, I think the state of Texas was $9 billion in debt. I really don't know what it is now. I read different figures, but it's anywhere from $6 to $7 billion. So I understand that, you know, regardless of some of these politicians being afraid of being portrayed as soft on crime, it has reached the point where, you know, the necessity of balancing the state's books takes precedence over looking soft on crime. And I think they realize, again, by seeing the success that other states have had by following this method, that they felt comfortable in doing it too. Because like most other states in America, prisons in Texas are overcrowded, packed to the gills, and they're building more all the time. But I think people are really discovering that it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have those beds and those cells in those prisons filled up with nonviolent drug offenders. And so fortunately, you know, this year finally, thanks to Jerry Madden's bill and to Rick Perry signing it, you know, they've seen their way past those limitations in Texas and have decided to approach things from a different angle.
Righto, Mark. And the Freedom Fest next week takes place at the Backyard venue there in Austin. And Austin, as a city, really is a unique place with a unique atmosphere in Texas.
I spent a decent amount of time there over the years. Because the state capitol is there and because the University of Texas is there, you know, you have a lot of politicians and a lot of students and faculty there. So it's geographically it's beautiful. It's one of the nicest areas in Texas. There's lots of hills and trees and water. Very nice area. And it's going to be a nice place to have this show. The event is being held at a venue called The Backyard, which I've been to once. It's a beautiful outdoor venue for concerts. It should make for a really nice evening next Friday. We have about five or six acts that are going to perform, so it's a full evening of music. You'll be going straight through from 7 o'clock to 10:30, so people will have a chance to see a lot of performers. And if anybody would like information on the event itself, they can go to the website austinfreedomfest.com. And if they just check that out, they can purchase tickets there if they want, get information on the concert itself, or if they can't attend but they simply want information on how to donate, they can also find that out on that website, austinfreedomfest.com.
And this really is a musical Texas all-star group performing that night. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun being on stage there with Willie, Ray Benson, Sleep at the Wheel, Paula Nelson, and all the others.
It should be. You know, the former executive director of Normal is Keith Strop. He has a long-standing friendship with Willie, which kind of precipitated Willie agreeing to perform at this event. The event itself is meant to act as a benefit for three organizations. In addition to Normal, it's for the Marijuana Policy Project and for an organization called WAM, which is the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, which is located in California. And Rob Campia from Marijuana Policy Project will be there. Alan St. Pierre, who is the current executive director of Normal, will be there. And then Valerie Corral, who runs the Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in California, will also be there. So in addition to seeing and hearing a lot of good acts and hearing a lot of music, you know, people in the crowd who are interested just in any of these reform organizations can hear the leaders of these organizations give brief remarks before and during the show. So hopefully it'll be very entertaining and very informative for anyone who decides to attend.
Right on, Mark. I really appreciate you taking time to speak with us here today, and I look forward to seeing you down there on stage at this huge show next Friday.
Same here, Chris. Nice talking with you today.
Mark Stepnoski played for the Dallas Cowboys on two Super Bowl championship teams in the 1990s. He served as president of Texas Normal, and he's now on Normal's advisory board. He'll be emceeing the Austin Freedom Fest next Friday, August 10th. Tickets to that event with Willie Nelson and others are on sale right now at AustinFreedomFest.com. We have links to it at NormalAudioStash.com. Make sure to get your tickets today.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with profuse thanks for the greatest gastrointestinal discomfort I have experienced in a long time. This weekend I competed in the El Jefe Hot Wings Eating Contest. These are chicken wings that are made with a sauce prepared with vinegar and bear mace. Well, probably not bear mace, but it smelled and tasted and felt like bear mace, especially that part where I accidentally wiped some of the sauce into my eyes. I was a blind, raving, chicken wing-eating lunatic spilling water on my competitors, writhing in pain, tears and snot and sweat running off my face. Oh, it was a good time, but it was for a good cause. We raised a lot of money for Normal Show Live. It's helping us to get the equipment we need for some of these remote broadcasts. So I hope when you're listening to those entertaining shows live on remote from Boston Freedom Rally or Normal Con or Great Midwest Harvest Fest or Portland Hemp Stock coming up in 2 weeks, that you know that you helped make it happen. Thanks a lot. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.